Rise and shine, sleepyhead.
Rise and shine.
I'm not really feeling up to this today.
Nope, not really feeling up to it.
Really?
Not today.
Why not?
Everything's so doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom?
The whole world is going crazy.
Sounds like you need a pep talk.
I don't need a pep talk.
Well, you're getting one.
We're going to wake up.
Get it together.
One foot in front of the other.
And put a smile on your face.
And we're going to make a difference.
Okay, guys, it's showtime.
The Mixed Morning Fix with John Monroe and Jackson. Starts now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Good morning. It's Monday, June 1st. I'm John. That's Jackson over there.
Good morning.
Monroe, good morning to you as well.
Hey, how are you?
I'm in a weird place, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I was driving in this morning, getting ready for the show, excited to see you guys, and I have so many questions. I had at least so many questions that I wanted to get to with Monroe, and she was going to go to Lagoon this weekend.
Right.
I wanted to catch up on that, and you know, we usually on Mondays, we do like, hey, dummy. And on Friday, we did Fridayoki, and I wanted to revisit that. And I was pumped about all the stuff we had on today's show. And I'm driving in, and I see these billboards that are reminding us that there is a curfew in effect here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we got grounded.
Yeah. And
it's over now, though.
They told me to go to my room until I could
yes,
fix my
did.
Attitude.
And the curfew is over now. It ended at 6 o'clock this morning. We'll see. Hopefully it'll stay gone and everyone will behave, and who knows if that will happen or not. But as I was driving in and I was looking at these billboards and I'm on social media, I went, wow, how do we do as a show, hey, dummy?
It's so hard, man.
Today.
Well, this is not.
Right?
Today.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I mean, we stay pretty apolitical on this show. We try real hard to just be the goofy ones.
If you
everyone else already has politics.
If you've been one of my million co-hosts, I've always had the same theory, and that has been life is hard. Your morning show shouldn't be.
Right. You've used that with your other co-hosts?
No, never. I would have never used
that. Excuse me?
No.
You gave me jewelry. You gave your ex-wife. How dare you?
I really do believe. I have no desire. I would be over at KSL if I had a desire
to
do something serious.
Yeah, if I wanted to do news, I'd be in news.
I like to sit here and sing an Ed Sheeran song on a Friday. I like to make a fart joke from time to time.
Yeah,
I love a fart joke.
Yeah, I mean,
you know I love fart jokes.
That's what I like.
A thinly veiled joke about male anatomy from time
sure,
to time.
Absolutely.
You know?
I'm laughing just as out of it.
Look at her go.
But how do you do that on a day when Salt Lake City had a riot downtown?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, a mile from my house, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
there.
And if you're waking up, I'll be honest. When I woke up on Sunday and I had some errands to run and I was just chatting with people, some didn't even realize it happened.
Yeah.
If you're not on social media and if you don't have live TV news.
Well, and your phone didn't go off at 10 o'clock at night.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about that as well today. But it was a huge riot. Up until just a few minutes ago, the National Guard was patrolling downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, there were choppers flying around.
Everywhere, helicopters.
In our town of Salt Lake City?
Yeah. It's just so, it's unprecedented, for sure.
We want to hear from you. How are you feeling this morning? What is going on in your life? How are you talking about this with your kids? You know what I'd really like, also, and I'm just going to, I want to have a really honest show, which we try to be honest with us and our flaws.
Mm-hmm.
One of our flaws is we're three whiteys in a studio.
That's the problem.
Let's just be honest about it.
We don't get to have much of an opinion on this matter. You
yeah.
know?
You don't have to say it like that.
Listen, we've heard you sing. We know you're white.
I've seen you clap along
the
to
rhythm.
A few songs. Yes. Exactly. So
it's not a secret, honey.
If you're a person of color, I'd love to hear from you this morning.
Please.
I do. Like,
yeah.
I was looking at, Jackson, you did this Instagram post yesterday letting people know that we aren't going to have the normal and the amount of people going, yes, thank you. Or be like, sometimes is what's needed to be done. And I'm like, man, I don't have that anger because I have no place to have that anger.
Right. See, and I see
I think it's okay for you to have anger.
And I went through that motion. We're going to talk about that this morning as well. Yeah.
I don't know. And as far as I see it, like the reason I, as a gay man, have any rights in this country is because it started with violent protesting. Like, it just, you could say what you want about it, say what you want about public destruction, but it makes people pay attention. And it's something that is horrible, but I am reserving my opinion on the events of this weekend, keeping everything to myself, because this wasn't about me.
Right.
This was just not about me. So I'd like to hear the people that it was about. Tell us what you feel about it.
So our text line, it is open 844-649-1051. That is also our phone line. You could call us this morning. Give us your thoughts no matter where they are. This is just an open conversation day. We're going to have some great interviews with some journalists who are out there in the middle of the riots. I cannot wait to talk to ABC4's Jason Nguyen.
Oh, his coverage was incredible. He did such a great job.
Yeah, so we're going to chat with him. But as we shake out of this funk from the weekend, Monroe, help us out. Give us a pocket full of sunshine.
Well, okay, it's hard enough knowing that you're about to be a dad when your wife goes into labor.
Oh my gosh.
But it was extra hard for John in Andover, Minnesota, because his wife went into labor and the delivery was coming fast. So he was on the phone with 911. A dispatcher had to talk him through how to deliver his son.
There was part of me that wanted this to happen when I was like, when Jen was pregnant.
Oh, of course. I know. You were ready.
I want to be the hero that saved the day.
Yeah, exactly.
That day is about the mother and the baby, young man. You let it go.
He's trying to bite the umbilical cord.
Yeah. He's trying to just elbow his way into it.
I was trying to stall us going to the hospital. What's the rush?
You can deliver a car, baby.
Right, exactly.
So the rush is I'm looking for an epidural and I'm looking for it now.
Exactly.
John actually had to do it, though. This John. He even had to tie off his son's umbilical cord with a shoelace.
That's amazing.
He had to go shoelace and everything. And, you know, the baby was born healthy, actually born 5 minutes before paramedics were even able to get on the scene.
Oh, my gosh,
that baby was just like, yep, I'm done. I'm over it.
Wow.
Let's do this.
Go.
Man, welcome to that baby to a brand new 2020.
What a year to be alive.
We got a really sweet text I wanted to read. It says, 30 minutes ago, I listened to last Friday's rendition of karaoke for the second time.
Stop it.
Made me laugh even harder. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work and have a nice day. Thank you so much for that text.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate that. And I wish I could tell you we're going to be that silly today, because that's our wheelhouse.
That's our jam.
That's where we shine.
We're not good. Listen, we're not good at serious.
No.
And we had a whole meeting yesterday. All day long, we were basically just texting.
Yes.
What are we going to do? We don't know how to be serious.
No, because that's not
what we do.
No. But it's too hard. You can't watch
the
news.
You can't not do it.
No. I don't know which one of you sent the text saying we can't be tone deaf. And it's so true.
Yeah.
Because it would be so weird to come in and just do our normal show today.
The city was on fire. And we just got ungrounded by the mayor 28 minutes ago.
Right. The National Guard, they were patrolling downtown because of the riots. So we're going to open the phone lines to you. I don't want us pontificating all morning. That's like the last thing I want to have happen.
No.
I want to hear from you and your thoughts this morning as you wake up. What are you going to tell your kids about everything from race to riots and everything in between? You can call us. You could text us. You can leave us an Instagram message. Every way possible is open, but I wanted to start with the protest because our very own producer Danny was down there.
Yeah.
You were in the caravan part
of
the protest.
You were in the protest part of the protest, not the riot part of the protest.
Yes, I was there at 11 a.m.
Okay, so 11 a.m., where did you show up at?
So we thought it was like construction, and we showed up and just heard all this honking and just people in cars, and we were like, what's going on? And we were like, oh, wait, we're like in it right now.
So you didn't even realize you had joined the caravan at the time.
Basically, yeah.
Good for you.
And so we wanted to be like in it, so we drove around the block. It was on like 4th and 6th.
Okay.
So we drove around the block, and it was like a really fun and beautiful experience, like, I was tearing up. People were tearing up.
Now,
was
it like a parade in the sense that there's also people standing on the streets? Or was it mainly just a bunch of cars all together and everyone was kind of just honking? And I know a lot of people had like their posters.
Yeah, it was mostly just a parade. Like people were coming out of their homes and being like, what the heck is going on outside?
Sure.
But yeah, it was a parade and people were putting their fists up through their cars and honking as they drove by if they weren't a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Had their signs up.
From everything I saw on Snapchat, everything looked like it was going really well at first.
It was going very well, yeah.
So you started at 11. What time did the caravan end at for you?
It was
at
still
least?
Going. I had somewhere to be. I was going to hang out with my brothers. So yeah. Like, I got to go. Uh-huh. But it was still alive and moving. I don't think it ever stopped. I think it just kind of progressively
got bigger.
Did it just stay in a circle? Were you guys just turning around one block over and over again? Like, who was leading this parade? How did you know where to go, I guess,
yeah.
is my question. Because I would be, like, just down some street by myself honking.
Yeah. Like, woo! Like, yeah, it was kind of just a circle
a
block. Free-for-all? But people were also going up towards the Capitol.
Okay.
Like, later in the protest.
Sure,
around,
yeah.
Like, 12:31.
Because the group really did split into two, which is what ended up happening with the riots that day. You had the Capitol riot, and then you also had the one down by the library.
Yeah.
Okay, so you left before any of the...
Yeah, I didn't know about the Capitol riot. Like, I saw it on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's going on, too. I thought we were social distancing and...
Yeah, that
cars.
Was gone this weekend.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah. We all forgot about that.
So... I don't know about anyone else. Like, I saw Danny's video and stuff on Instagram, and I was like, oh, it looks like a beautiful protest, and I think that's great. And I had some other friends who were there, and I was like, okay, Salt Lake coming through in a big way.
Lots and lots of people showing up. Lots of people civically engaged that I've never seen civically engaged before.
Yeah.
And I was curious with you, Jackson, because you live somewhat downtown. Could you hear, like, the honking of the horns and the...
Yeah. So I took my dog out right around the time...
The
police car got flipped, which is when things started getting really bad.
Yeah.
So I was outside with Hoodoo, and
Hoodoo.
He's terrified of everything anyway. So we're walking, and I live like 10 blocks away from where everything went down. I live 10 blocks from Library Square. So we're outside, and there are just groups. We live on a busy street. There are just groups of people hanging out at the park by our house, hanging out. And they looked like they had maybe just come from the protest and were still, you know, hanging out. Well, all of a sudden, I start seeing everyone get all abuzz.
Uh-huh.
And they're looking at their phones. I'm like, what is going on? And then, like, just groups start booking it kind of in that direction.
Toward
the library. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So we get around the block. Take the dog back into the house, and then it was just sirens for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Siren after siren, just all constantly up and down, because we kind of live on a busy highway, so it was just nonstop police and then helicopters. And so I'm like, what is happening? I get onto Snapchat, which, if you don't know, Snapchat has the best feature where you can click on, like, a hot spot on the map where lots of people are Snapchatting, and it'll just show you what's going on there. So I got immediate, like, as the cop car was getting flipped, as things were getting set on fire, I was getting all of those updates, like, live from the spot. Yep.
Sitting in your house.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not going out. I'm not going out there. So I just started screen recording it and posting it, like, get away from downtown. Get out of there. It's not looking good.
Now, Monroe, you said that KSL had a great article about just the protest part of Saturday and just how beautiful it was.
Yeah, there were actually, like, The article is called A Look at Kindness and Solidarity That Emerged During Utah's Protest.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Like, I think during the day, for the most part, I mean, it was just like, hey, you know.
We're in this together.
Yeah,
let's
right.
walk together.
What can we do? How can we help?
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of thing. So, they talked about at 2 p.m.
Ogden had a great protest.
A Facebook event where they all went and they took a knee.
Oh, cool.
On Washington Boulevard.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. And then it just talked about the feeling of the caravan. Like, it really was just a good feeling. And then there was at one point, I guess a woman went to yell at the protesters, you know, stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And they were yelling back. And, you know, it was starting to be a political issue.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, they have an image, and it's making its way around Twitter, but this guy just grabbed her and hugged her and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You just need love. Like, listen, this isn't about politics.
Yeah.
This isn't about...
Not everything has to be.
This is bigger than all of that,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
And so, and you can see that, you know, they're both kind of breaking down, and the crowd kind of teared up.
It was, I love that.
It was a cool moment.
That's very cool. If you're waking up or getting back from camping and you didn't realize, we were on lockdown.
Again!
What? No, we quarantined while we were quarantining.
Yeah.
I know. I was like,
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Because Salt Lake never actually left Orange.
Uh-huh.
Like, we've always been in Orange. So technically, we're supposed to be hunkering down anyway. But then the mayor was like, no. You're all grounded. No, I don't like the behavior that I'm seeing.
Uh-huh.
I love you, but I don't like you right now. So go to your room.
For realsy kind of thing.
Yeah. Listen, there's all been one big joke leading up to this, but really, you got to go home.
And, you know, we're just trying to have an open talk today. We've kind of flushed out the show. I mentioned earlier, driving in this morning, and I was thinking about us doing, like, Hey Dummy and the celebrity mm-hmm. birthday game. And then I'm looking at these billboards saying, don't forget, you're on lockdown. And I'm like, I don't know how you do a normal show. I don't. And so we want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And we did a post, actually. And the post says, after the events from this weekend, a regular show just doesn't feel right. We love being silly and making you laugh as you get ready for the day. But on Monday, we're going to have a conversation. How are you feeling? How are you handling this with your children? Are you scared? And plus, you'll hear firsthand accounts from journalists who are in the middle of the riots. And I should mention that ABC4's Jason Wynn is going to be calling in at 7:30.
I am so excited.
Talk
about that.
Firsthand. He was mm-hmm. in the middle
of
it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He got he had to get, his pants were cut at one point and they had to bandage him up.
He was in the thick of it the whole time. He was right behind the police line.
And then Fox 13's Ben Winslow, who was everywhere this
Sassy.
Week. Oh my gosh. So
he
good.
Was asking the questions that needed answers. That press conference, and he just like, hey, so this is for the governor. I was like, ooh, get comfy.
He was good. So,
yeah, he was great.
We'll have them both on this morning. Here's some of the messages that I've received, including, I'm glad you're addressing this. I'll be listening. This text says, I'm disgusted with what I saw on the news last night. Have a protest. Stand up. Be the change. But violence to solve violence is not the answer. This says it was an emotionally rough weekend, but I finally decided just to take a break from Facebook and from the news and focus on things that bring me joy. I feel safe, but I think that's because I live an hour away from the craziness. But I do feel sad that all of this is happening and that people feel like this is an excuse to create horrible tragedy. I feel that what happened was obviously horrific, and I hope we all learn something from this. Let's see. Here's another one. Sorry, they're coming in pretty quick here.
We did ask how people are handling it. This one says, listen, it's not my job to tell people how to protest, but I did take a double Xanax last night. So it's like, yeah, girl, I get that.
That's okay.
Yeah. Everyone's cope how you gotta cope. Listen, I feel like we're getting pretty... Do you realize that this is now, because we live so close, Veronica, my roommate Veronica and I were like, we gotta get go bags in case fires start spreading.
Yeah.
So this is now the third go bag we have packed this year because of the two earthquakes that hit us and now potential fires. And that's all during a pandemic quarantine.
I came up with this idea actually yesterday. I was walking my dog Buddy and I'm walking around and I was just trying to think about and take in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with a podcast idea where each episode is just about a day in 2020. You just start with January 1st. Because that's how much has happened.
Remember World War III was going down?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
A day in the life of 2020.
There it is. Trademarked. We'll start it
Jingle.
Next week. Yes, exactly.
I'm just so tired. I don't know if I can ever relive this year. Are you serious?
Oh my gosh, I can't.
March will actually be 400 episodes.
The problem is that I feel like every year since like 2010, we've all looked at each other like, ugh, this is the grossest year ever.
And then the next year said, oh yeah?
Oh yeah? And then the world was supposed to end in 2012 and that was supposed to be it. But here we are, just still doing our thing.
I know. It kind of was like, huh.
Real cool,
might have missed an opportunity there, huh?
Someone who was out there during it was Cynthia. Cynthia works with X96, but she has a moment here. The Radio Lords let her come over here for a quick second,
yes.
So we appreciate that. Cynthia, when did you go downtown?
Approximately about 4 o'clock. I went down to, you know, show support. And also, I'll be very honest, you know, I wanted to see the flipped cop car.
So you went down there because you knew there was rioting going on and you wanted to see what was happening?
At this point, I think the rioting hadn't started. It was more still peaceful protesting.
But the rumor on the street was there was a car and you got to go see it.
Yes. The car had, you know, not been on fire. Had stopped being on fire at that point and people had dispersed. And there was about 50 people in the area when around 5 o'clock, the riot police came in, swooped in, and there's a video circulating online of them pushing the old man.
Yes.
I witnessed that. I was directly to the left of the guy. It was very scary.
You were to the left of the guy who got pushed down?
Yeah.
No kidding. So you were right there. I know. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, from your point of view, as they came out, were they just not looking? Or, I mean, what do you think happened? Now, you were there in a whole different point of view than what we saw.
Yeah, they all jumped out of the vehicle
and
started, you know, screaming and yelling at us, get back, get back, get back, and, you know, pushing people and moving towards people. It was very confrontational.
Uh-huh.
There was no chance to even sort of understand what was going on before you were being pushed out of the way.
Now, what was your feeling at that point as this was all happening? The riots kind of started to escalate, the energy in the situation. Like, were you scared?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this was the first time that I had seen this show of force in person.
Uh-huh.
And so I was definitely very scared that I would be arrested, even though I was just standing there as much as everyone else. No one was violent, you know, during that period of time.
How much longer did you stay after that?
Only 20 or so minutes. The spectacle caused me to sort of stand around a little bit longer than I should have. And that's when the rioting started to escalate and they tried to flip another police car, which they were unsuccessful. And that's when the tear gas came out and that's when I went home.
I got to tell you, it's got to ruin the energy when you try to flip a car and it doesn't happen.
Oh, I know. You know what I'm saying? You had so much enthusiasm behind it, but you just couldn't quite muscle in there.
And so you made it out of there. Were you there when people were throwing things back and forth, like the bottles that were being thrown?
No, I had gone home at that point, but witnessed all the police cars flood downtown.
What about the bow and arrow, man? Were you there for the bow and arrow? You were not there for the bow.
No.
Okay. Jason Nguyen from ABC4 was right next to the bow and arrow, man. We're going to talk to him coming up here in about 7:30 this morning. Cynthia from X96, thanks for sharing your story.
For
appreciate
me on, guys.
That.
Thank you.
We are opening the phone lines to you. We're just having a conversation this morning. What's your thoughts about all that happened this weekend? Monroe, I've been wanting to ask you, how's the kids doing? Like,
it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
So, when our phone alarms went off.
Oh, my gosh. The curfew
alarm? And
they
did three of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, why do we have to do three? Because you're terrifying my children. And so they kept asking, you know, like, why? What is it? Why is it coming over? And I, when I first became a parent, I took the approach of, okay, you know, everything's fine. Mm. The world's great outside, right? Like, I just kind of, I just pushed their head in the sand.
Yeah, the ostrich approach.
Absolutely. And then, I don't know, just the more you read and the more you learn to be a parent, you just kind of realize that you got to be honest because they're going to hear it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you're not honest with them, you know, that reflects bad on you, and they got to know that they can come to you when they need those answers. You're their parent, right?
Yeah, they can't get away from it any more than we can anymore.
Right.
Yeah. When I was a kid, if my parents didn't want to talk about something, they'd be like, here's an Adam Sandler movie. Go downstairs. Like, we didn't have to talk about the hard things, but you can't really avoid it anymore.
So what did you say?
I told him exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
On, like, the protests. I told him about George Floyd.
Okay.
I told him, you know, that not all police officers are like that, but this is definitely a problem.
Yeah.
I told them how it led back to the debate of kneeling during the national anthem, you know, and I just told them the whole story. It took hours.
Yeah.
But I really did. I just, the more questions they asked, I would just tell them. And Ella was crying, but that's Ella. She's just
so sensitive. That sweet girl. Yeah,
she's so empathetic.
Yeah.
And, so she was crying, you know, and my son, he's younger, so he kind of had the innocent kid questions to ask and that kind of stuff. But they took it really well. I was
good.
I was really the alarm was scarier than anything. And at the end, Ella was like, I'm glad you explained that because the alarm just scared me.
The alarm was scary.
It was scary.
Yeah, for everyone.
Everyone, go home unless you're dying. That's like.
And they did it three times.
Uh-huh.
Go home. Like, stop.
Again, National Guard roaming downtown.
Yes.
The helicopters flying over down. Like, if you're in, Draper or Provo or Ogden, you probably don't realize, but I mean, we had this martial law-esque presence downtown.
Absolutely.
And it is scary to see because we're not used to something like that. So we'd love to know how you've kind of, what you've told to your children as well and how you're handling all this as a parent. This text says, a quote I saw on Instagram sums it up best. Never judge a victim's response to the persecution more than you judge the persecution itself. Do you value human lives or human property? I personally don't think that white people should be telling an oppressed group how they can and can't protest. This text says, regarding what bad happened over the weekend, I'm happy that the frontline handled the situation. They let the protest happen until people started rioting and handled it very well. And even though
even when they were rioting, they let it go for a while.
Yeah. And even though we saw a lot of bad news on the media, we saw people coming together, including the officers, when someone was in need of help.
I did hear that, too. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody got hurt, they could go up to a police officer and they would help them.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good. There was a lot of bad, but there was good.
So we're going to just keep having the conversation this morning. You can text us. And also, I do want to mention that ABC4's Jason Nguyen is going to be calling in about 15 minutes. He was in the middle of
it. His report was great. Yeah.
Ben Winslow from Fox 13's at 8 o'clock this morning. So we're going to try to give you as much coverage as possible. Monroe, why don't you do this? Help us out. Give us a pocket full of sunshine.
Well, speaking of the good things that happened, out of all this is a bunch of just volunteers came out on Sunday and helped clean up the Capitol building. So the Capitol building and also the downtown streets. So it just shows just everyday people went out and helped, you know, scrub off the graffiti and pick up the garbage. And
yeah,
I just thought that was a cool thing.
I was watching yesterday on Twitter, everyone who came out to help clean up.
It
and
was
I'm like,
cool.
There was a lot of people.
I'm like, Utah, you're doing it right.
Good job,
I know.
Guys.
Let's go, Utah.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that showed up to help. That was cool.
That is so
and
awesome.
And one guy just said, you know what? I couldn't sleep. I'm so upset, you know, over all this stuff that's going on. I didn't know what to do. So he said, I just showed up at the Capitol and figured I could help clean up some stuff.
That's great. Hi, Max.
Hi.
Hey.
My spouse works at jail, and you guys were asking about things that happened with the riot. One of the things the news didn't show you was actually that there was protesters at the jail at 1 a.m.
At the jail, huh?
Yeah, so at the jail they started to show up around 11. They were coming to show, I don't know if they were coming to show support for their other rioters.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed up at the jail and were prepared to fight to get there. Follow protesters out, so they actually had to turn the buses around. Instead of sending them to the jail in Salt Lake, they sent them to Davis.
No way. How many got turned around and sent to Davis?
A good chunk. So they let some people go, so only one bus really went up, and then maybe to Salt Lake, I think a total of 12 people went, and then a total of around 24, I think, went up to Davis.
I guess I didn't realize 24 people had gotten arrested.
Yeah, I knew a few at the Capitol had after the curfew.
Right.
Yeah, like around nine, like an hour and a half after the curfew.
The only people that went to the jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only people that went to the jail was from the Capitol at that point.
Gotcha. Okay. And I'm sorry, did you say, were you working at the jail?
I wasn't. My spouse was. So I was home.
Gotcha.
Watching everything, trying to survive.
Yeah. Were you okay? Well, I mean, knowing that your spouse was out there in danger?
No.
Yeah.
I actually spent the entire night watching the news.
I bet.
In tears. I had to have family come over. We had a guy that lives in the neighborhood actually went to the jail at one point, and he actually came knocking on the door.
No way.
Really? Oh, my gosh. That is so scary. I'm glad you and your family's okay. Thanks for sharing.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
You too.
This text says, I'm a single mom serving in the military. And this weekend, when news of the people attacking law enforcement or military, it made me buy extra locks, which I stopped for a minute and said, wow, I'm worried about my safety because of my military affiliation. But I do get my six-year-old back today, and we will be having a talk about everything. Mm. God bless you for serving.
It's a
I
hard
do appreciate
talk,
it. Yeah. You know, that phone call reminded me of, if you don't know, I'm from Long Beach, California. And so I grew up, my father was a sergeant in the Long Beach Police Department, and through the riots back in 92.
The Rodney King riots.
The Rodney King riots, yeah. How scary it was as a kid, because I was in elementary school. And I remember my dad going every day during this. And the riots were more than what we had on Salt Lake. With Salt Lake. It wasn't just a day. This was a long time. It took a few weeks, actually, to get through. And I remember being so scared because I'd watched the news.
Yeah. And seeing them pulling people out of cars.
Reginald Denny. Yeah. And then knowing my dad was going out there every day and not truly understanding. To your credit, Monroe, when you're saying talking to your kids, I knew my dad was going out to protect people. But outside of that, I think back on that time and I have such fear. You know, and we were doing at our school, we had riot drills because you never knew the moment when it might come to your area. And so they had a specific bell that would ring, and the way it would ring meant get inside. It was almost like a shelter in place because it meant the riot was getting too close to where you were going to school.
Wow.
And so as I listened to those calls, it just kind of brought back this weird, I just remember that.
Dude,
that
weird anxiety.
Like 2020 in Utah and your childhood, John.
Yeah.
I mean, the earthquake, you were in a serious earthquake.
What is going on?
Because I remember, that's the one thing I remember from the earthquake is you just kept saying, oh, my childhood. Oh, my childhood.
Yes.
And so now, here you are, you're like, oh, my childhood.
What the heck?
I'm going to need you to pack up all that California nonsense that you brought with you, put it in a box, and mail it back to them because we don't like it here.
That's crazy, though. I can't imagine. Like here, in Salt Lake, I remember watching it at school. I remember watching the riots and learning all about the riots and all that. And I can't imagine what it, we were so far away from
it. Yeah.
I can't imagine what it was like being a kid there.
As like a historical event. Like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. We'll learn about that in history one day.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're living through, when you're experiencing history,
when you could see all the
terrifying
fires and hear the gunshots, it's a different experience completely. Yeah. One of the biggest parts about the riot coverage on Saturday was ABC4's Jason Wynn. We, off air, we've been talking about him all morning because he had some of the best coverage there was. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? How's John Monroe and Jackson doing?
I got to tell you, man, I don't know. I mentioned earlier, I was driving in this morning thinking about our show, and then I saw all these electronic billboards reminding us that we were still under curfew because this was at, 4 a.m., and I went,
yeah.
How do you do a normal show when, Salt Lake City is under a curfew where there's the National Guard patrolling downtown?
Right? Good thing you're an essential employee.
Yes, exactly.
I've got a badge that says I'm essential.
Well, Jason, one of the things that kind of kept us informed all day Saturday was ABC4 and your coverage.
Oh, my gosh.
When did you get the call? Were you just doing the protest? Were you already down there? Is that what happened?
No, honestly, I was at home. I was watching the rocket get launched, the Falcon, and while I was watching, two Americans get sent to the International Space Station, I got a call from Nick McGurk, who's our weekend anchor, and he was like, hey, things are starting to go awry. I need you to get ready. And I was on call just to go in case somebody called off. You know, it's normal news protocol. But at that point, a police car had already been flipped. It was set on fire. And that was when people were taking their frustrations out on that car. So by the time I got downtown, it was around 4 o'clock.
So what was your feeling, Jason, as you went downtown? Like your expectation, were you scared or were you just excited to cover it? Like what goes through a journalist's mind? Because let me tell you, we're not journalists here on this show, so we don't understand.
it was a different sense, and I luckily for me, I've had, training. I've dealt with protests before in other cities. I've worked outside of this market. And I've dealt with some pretty violent protests recently in my career. And so that kind of prepared me for what I should expect, One of the things that I know from just my training, whether it was training with law enforcement, training through, the various companies I've worked for, is when you get in those situations, you want to control the 6 feet around you. And anybody that comes into that 6 feet, that's when you kind of have to be alarmed. So if you watch my coverage from yesterday, I am constantly scanning the crowd, scanning the people that are around me while I'm talking. And that's specifically because my photographer's got a camera on his right side. He can't see anything to his right.
Right.
Of him. Yeah.
So, if anybody came from that right side of him, he wouldn't be able to see him, and it's just us, and luckily we were by other media. So, and most of the media was able to keep their eye on each other. But as you see, there was a photographer from another channel that was beaten during protests, and we've had several news cars from the other stations that were also damaged. So, I mean, there was a lot of things happening throughout the day. And you know, for me, it all kind of kicked off at 4 o'clock when I got there. And, you know, we were immediately met with resistance. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those things where we had to take precautions. We tried to film, you know, anybody that seemed to be aggressive towards us, we filmed them. And, you know, I was clear to my photographer, if they have tattoos, you film their tattoos. You do whatever you can to identify anybody that may attack us.
Yeah.
And that was how we approached the entire thing. And we told people what we were doing. And one guy was like, you sound like a cop. And I was like, no, I'm protecting myself because this is the only way we as journalists can protect ourselves.
Speaking of staying situationally aware and protecting yourself, I left my kitchen where I had your report going for just a second, and as I came back into the room, you yelled, "Oh, he's got a crossbow!" What happened?
That was my coworker.
Oh, okay.
My coworker Nicole. She was dealing. You know, I didn't even know about the crossbow guy, and you know, at one point, he was actually led over by me to pick up some things, and I didn't know who he was because I was in my own world of things. I mean, you know, I had a knife thrown at me. I was standing with, this is part of the coverage that people just don't know is, you know, things got really heated around 7 o'clock. You know, right after the coverage where I was showing you where, that you saw that young man start punching that police officer. And I was like, why did you punch him? He was like, well, he hit me with he hit me with his shield. So I punched him. I mean, like, that's a good reason to punch a cop, first of all. Ugh. And then you're like, and then as we're coming back, there was a knife thrown at us and it went right in between Alex Cabrera and I.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Picked it up, and it was smoldering from the burning car. And it was one of those box cutter type knives. And we both immediately put it on TV because it's not every day that you miss a knife.
Right.
And literally an hour after that, that's when, you know, there was a guy. And you know, this is all just me watching over the video. But there was a guy that was getting very aggressive with police, trying to break the police line, and eventually it got a little heated to the point where another officer came up and fired rubber bullets at him.
Yeah.
And right after that happened is when the firework came. And I'll be honest with you, I'm calling it an IED.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a, you know, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. It was an improvised explosive device thrown. And luckily, if it wasn't for a couple of officers spotting it, because I was live on air, I heard it, and they pointed it out at me. If you go in slow-mo on the video, you'll actually see me kind of kick it backwards, and it's right behind me when it explodes. And that's when I got
so
burned
scary.
On the legs and everything.
And
paramedics, you know, Sergeant Pope and Salt Lake City police officer grabbed me, and then Sergeant Pope, you know, cleaned out the wound right away and dressed it up. And if it wasn't for that immediate dressing, I probably wouldn't have stayed on out there.
I know. All of a sudden, I just saw you come back on air and your pants were cut off and they were about bandaged up. I was like, dude, this guy can't stop.
Oh, the fireworks were terrifying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was like the way I looked at it, it was just kind of like, you know what? This is a part of a job that, you know, you may not have signed up for, but you've got to finish. Because, I mean, is the things that happened throughout that night, I mean, even though I kind of knew what was going to happen because I've been a part of some of these trainings that law enforcement has done, so I kind of felt that I knew how they were going to move. And they didn't tell me their secrets or anything, but a lot of the things that, you know, how that line moves, that's done in police departments across the country.
Got it.
And it's done in a specific way to keep everyone safe, to make that safety buffer zone, no matter what side of the line you were on, because there were people that were getting hurt on the other side where police would bring them in take them to a medic, and then send them back out. So it wasn't like it was a one-way street. They were identifying people that actually needed medical attention and helping them.
Absolutely incredible. ABC4's Jason Nguyen. I got to say, again, we enjoy your coverage. Thank you for doing it. You know, when I was in college, when I first was producing radio, I thought I wanted to be a journalist. In one of my first class, they were like, you would have to do something like Jason. And I was like, well, this was
not
for me.
You're going to have to go to war or something.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's it. I'm out. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, Jason, thanks for the coverage that you did and letting us know what was happening there downtown Salt Lake City on Saturday during the riot. ABC4 did such a fantastic job. And it's great to talk to you, man.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. I'm glad I can give a little bit of a perspective. I mean, what I went through is just minuscule compared to what the country is feeling right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, one of the things that we should probably get across is that, Sheriff Rosie Rivera said it in our interview. We need policy change. We need the policymakers to do the change. And when Rosie was anchoring that newscast and asking every one of the representatives what they're going to do, now you kind of have an idea, and the public needs to get involved and hold these people accountable if they really want the change that they were trying to demonstrate and protest for on Saturday.
You're right. Sheriff Rosie Rivera, her press conference was fantastic. Maybe we'll try to find some audio from that.
Yeah.
Even. Hey, Jason, great chatting with you, man. Have a great Monday, okay?
All right, have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
Oh, my
absolutely
gosh.
Fascinating.
Crazy.
ABC4's Jason Nguyen. Monroe talked about how you've been just very open and honest with your children, and you feel like they've taken it very well, including that alarm that went off on all of our phones on Saturday telling everyone to shelter in place. That was kind of a free. It was like the purge was happening when those alarms were going off.
I know. Well, because it happened on my phone and my husband's phone.
Yeah.
So they're both looking at both of us like,
what is going on?
And so I got a text asking, how did my kids take it all? And it kind of completely different story, because over Memorial Day, Jen and I, we took the kids down to California. And my family lives not only in Southern California, but also in Central California in Bakersfield now. And my kids have been there for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday, right after they actually flipped the cop car, we were driving on I-15 down to the airport listening to the news about the riot. And I was taking Jen, and we were kind of following along with what was happening in L.A., and that's where she was flying into to see what was happening. And I'm like, if you don't feel comfortable, we can let the kids stay at my mom's a little longer, and that's fine.
Yeah, we'll just deal with it.
She's like, no, I think I'll be okay. And so, she flew out, and I was obsessed with the rest of the evening just listening to everything that was happening in downtown Salt Lake City. And the next day, what was happening was my mom was going to drive my kids down from Bakersfield, California, to Los Angeles to get to LAX, where you fly out of.
Uh-huh.
And as they were driving down and Jen was leaving the house that she was staying at in Long Beach up to L.A., they started more riots in Los Angeles.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they were supposed to meet in Santa Monica over by the ocean, have a moment by the water. And that's where the riot was beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
And Jen happened to get there kind of sooner than my kids. And so she started texting with my mom's like, don't come to, Santa Monica.
Get out.
It's scary down here. And at that time, she was starting to get stopped by the cops everywhere, because they were closing down
streets and
everything.
Oh,
yeah. In fact, as she was there, Santa Monica, the mayor there, said, oh, it's curfew now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now.
Yeah.
They boarded up Rodeo Drive.
Yes.
Every shop on Rodeo Drive was covered in plywood. It was bonkers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
scary.
So she's driving around trying to get out of Santa Monica, where the riots are now happening. She was like, there's thousands of protesters.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can feel the energy and see the anger. And now she's just thinking, kind of like it reminded me so much of Monroe during the earthquake. She wants her kids.
Yeah.
She wants her babies. But at the same time, she doesn't want them to come near here.
No.
So she's trying to text with my mom about where they can meet to quickly get the kids. My parents can go back up to Bakersfield and she can get on a plane and come home.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried three different spots as Los Angeles was closing down yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
And so they ended up meeting at the actual LAX drop-off just right there to transfer and disperse as quick as possible. And so
that's wild.
Yeah, my kids had a very interesting way of experiencing a riot for the first time, trying to find their mom.
Aww.
and trying around downtown Los Angeles. It, very scary, yeah. So they're home. They're safe. Good. It was a great moment to see them yesterday. I gave them, I was like crying when I saw them.
Oh, yeah. You're just like, you guys made it home. I know.
And so like I'm on like this text chain between
How helpless are you?
That's the exact word I was feeling. Yeah. I felt so helpless. And I just
because like at least Jen had a mission and she had was in control of something.
Yeah.
Go get her babies. You are just sort of stuck here.
I'm just watching them text. And she's like, no, you know, Third Street, don't go there. And like it was horrifying and helpless. And so they're back now and they're.
Oh,
so,
that's good.
Yeah. So
I'm
thank
so
you for asking and checking. And coming up next, I do want to read, though. Thank you. There's a text that just came in going, thank you for talking about it this morning. I'm very emotional. My feelings have been all over the board and I appreciate listening to you. And that's. That honestly, we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're here this morning doing this. I'll tell you, one of my news sources was Fox 13's Ben Winslow, who's on the phone right now. What up, Ben?
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Ben, man, the moment as soon as the cop car was flipped on Saturday, I started going to Twitter, and you were
busy.
You were busy. You were up at the Capitol reporting. Now, were you there for the protest part, and then you just stuck around? Like, when did you get to the Capitol?
I got to the Capitol a little bit later. We had a number of crews. Sydney Glenn was in downtown Salt Lake. She was covering the initial demonstrations. And then, of course, as things quickly expanded, we brought in a number of other of my colleagues. I was kind of brought in a little late. As you know, I cover a lot of Capitol Hill, so I cover a lot of, you know, the boring political stuff that, you know, people really should be paying attention to but don't. And so I was brought in to, you know, get some of the reaction from some of our elected leaders. Representative Sandra Hollins was calling a news conference along with other communities of color leaders. And so I was initially on that, and then I wound up at the Capitol where the protests were still going on. It was sort of the second wave of demonstrations. People originally marched from downtown up to Capitol Hill and then back downtown, and then some people went back up to Capitol Hill. And that's pretty much where I stayed for the rest of the evening, just, you know, observing what was going on. Of course, the Capitol was significantly vandalized. There was a lot of graffiti on the building. But the protests, at least up at Capitol Hill, for what I saw, largely, you know, peaceful. A lot of people, you know, certainly there was a wall of police officers. I'm sure you saw some of the video, you know, this wall of police officers on the steps of the Capitol. Not letting them in, not letting the demonstrators in, and people, you know, sometimes just yelling at the police, you know, some people sharing stories about their experiences with the police and systems that, you know, they believe have impacted them significantly. And then eventually later in the evening, you know, when the curfew went into effect, a couple hours after the curfew went into effect, police then made a handful of arrests up there.
So we're talking to Fox 13's Ben Winslow, who was covering the protests this weekend. Ben, I saw the footage. There was a bunch of it was Utah Highway Patrol. They're the ones who are in charge of the Capitol, correct?
Right. Yeah, they do Capitol security.
So it was Utah Highway Patrol. They were up on the steps. They were making the wall around, and then you had the protesters. Where were you? Like, what do you do at that point in time as you're trying to be a journalist and cover this?
I was in the middle of it. You know, we would just move around, obviously trying to, you know, keep an eye out to make sure that things are just, you know, not getting out of control. Just, you know, trying to watch and cover and report what's happening, you know, report what the demonstrators are saying and reporting what, you know, police are saying, reporting just kind of what is happening at that moment.
Were you scared?
Not really, no. You know, the Utah Highway Patrol really has a good track record on Capitol Hill of facilitating demonstrations. They deal with protests all the time. I mean, you can remember there were thousands of people on Capitol Hill for the Women's March. They've had climate change demonstrations, a number of issues. This one was a little more unique because, you know, you had violence downtown, you had a curfew going into effect, and you had, you know, the vandalism to the building itself. So this was certainly different. I don't want to, you know, compare the two, but, you know, just kind of give an approximation there. But no, up there, you know, I did not feel at any point, at least covering the protests themselves, that you know, things would potentially get out of hand. That they did, there was certainly a sizable law enforcement presence there. Downtown, however, I know from my colleagues that was a completely different story.
The fact that journalists were being attacked this time.
That was scary.
Yeah. And including, correct me if I'm wrong, but a Fox 13 vehicle was actually vandalized.
We had a photographer who was attacked and injured by a crowd. We had a reporter. She had one of my colleagues. She had a box cutter thrown at her face. It definitely got out of hand, in some parts of the demonstration.
We are talking to Fox 13's Ben Winslow. Okay, so that was Saturday night. You were back there on Sunday during the cleanup and the press conference that happened. What was the mood then?
A lot different. Of course, the curfew was in effect. And, I live in downtown Salt Lake City. So, you know, this has kind of been, my weekend. Mm-hmm. And, I just walked around and saw some of the cleanup from some of the vandalism that took place throughout the downtown area, and then made my way up to Capitol Hill, which is where I work most of the time anyway. And, you just saw the cleanup. The governor discouraged volunteers. There were a lot of people who apparently called the governor's office and wanted to come and help scrub the Capitol, the historic building. Because it is a historic building, the governor discouraged that. But they did get volunteer restoration crews, and then the Capitol's custodial crews were out doing this. And by the way, I really need to give a shout out to the custodians at the Utah State Capitol. These people have been dealing with COVID-19 since mid-March and had to keep that building extra sanitized because of COVID-19.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you have this on top of it.
Oh, my
please thank your custodians. Yeah. They are working overtime for you.
Custodians in general. Like, they're doing the job that I don't want to do.
I know, right?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's true.
Exactly. So, there were professional restoration crews who volunteered their time to come and they really got the graffiti off very, very quickly from the Capitol building. I just happened to be coming back from running errands and drove by Capitol Hill and saw this crowd out front of the Capitol. And I thought, oh no, we got, more demonstrators back. You know, I kind of sprang into news mode whipped out my phone, and the governor was there, and he was just thanking. He came out to thank the people who were scrubbing the graffiti off and thank them for their efforts. And I got a chance to ask him a few questions, do a quick interview with him as he was doing that.
We're talking to Fox 13's Ben Winslow, and let's talk about that interview you had with Governor Herbert, because you were asking tough questions. You were asking the questions, I think, that were on a lot of Utahns' minds at the time.
Well, that's what they pay me to do. And that's what I do. He had a lot to say. I mean, he was very disappointed in the violence that took place, the vandalism. He definitely, certainly supports the right to demonstrate, but he wants it peaceful. Is the way that he said it. And while the curfew has expired, the governor did say that the National Guard will remain on sort of a standby basis so that if they need to respond again, that they can. But in the meantime, he also said that they will look at some of the policies that are in place that kind of fueled these demonstrations in the first place and whether that needs to be addressed as well.
I want to point out that Governor Herbert actually tweeted out Ben Winslow, just giving him love on Twitter, saying he was out last night. He's back again. He's a great journalist.
Oh,
I mean, that's a pretty huge compliment, man. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. It's a nice compliment to get. There are a lot of journalists in this city that are working really, really, really hard to keep the public informed. I mean, through a lot of things. You know, we've got these events, we've got COVID-19, we've got an election year coming up. I mean, there's a lot happening right now, Utah.
Listen, the year's only half over, folks.
Are we even at that point yet? I mean, really?
It's taken forever to get
through. That's right, it's June.
It's June.
Yeah.
I don't even I don't even remember what day it is anymore. It's just day. Yeah, you know, it's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's just day.
What year is it?
It's actually March 28th. I got bad news for everyone.
It's March 52nd.
Yes, exactly. All right. Ben Winslow, Fox 13. He also has a podcast that you can check out, Utah Booze News. It's great talking to you, as always. You're always such a great voice in the community. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Ben. There
you go. Ben Winslow, Fox 13. We've been wanting to hear from you, hear your feelings over the protests, the riots. How are you handling this with your kids? Please do text us at 844-649-1051. That being said, I'm going to pivot for a quick second, if you don't mind.
Oh.
Because
I thought we weren't pivoting.
I know, but I...
During the show.
I know, but I got to be honest with you. We left everyone hanging on Friday, so I felt like we had to come back to it because we did Friday-oki. And I'm on Friday
you
after Friday-oki.
About to do this.
There was a tie between Jackson and I. And there was a tie.
You're only bringing up the
tie. I don't know what you're talking. There was a tie. And so we said, hey, vote over the weekend and then we'll revisit. I cannot do that and then not bring it up today because that wouldn't be fair to those who voted.
Oh, really?
They need
so
a voice.
So let me ask you a question
they
then.
Need a voice.
Let me ask you a question. Surprise, John won. Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Since we're into it already.
Sure.
Let me get this straight. I spend 5 hours making a costume out of hot glue and plastic tablecloths.
Yes.
A costume that is spot on.
Yes.
John does a duet with his... John comes out and then he suddenly... he just gets to have the award. I mean, I get that it's Pride Month and everything, but whatever,
bro. Is John the winner?
Yeah, John won.
What?
John and his best friend... boyfriend Mike Looney.
Stop it.
Listen, they were the original bromance. Like, everybody all came out with the bromance, you know, all these new bromances now.
I'd
John
like
had
look
one at
Paul
birth.
Rudd and Jason Segel right in the eyes and tell them that. But
listen, you're all flash, no substance, is
what
I'm trying to say.
What are you talking about?
And my heart.
My performance was better. Mm. My choreography was better. Mm. My vocals were better. Mm. My costume was better.
Mm.
All of the above. All of the, and I'd just like to point out that I feel like if I had won, this wouldn't be a conversation we're having on air right now.
That sounds ridiculous.
No, whatever.
How dare you?
Because we were on the phone all day yesterday talking about what are we going to do? What's the show going to look like? We need to flush the format. We're not doing any of our normal stuff.
Nope.
We're just going to talk about the riots all day. And here I am. Now, getting played for a fool. So again, I pose the question, would you have brought this up had I won?
Of course I would.
You're such a fighter!
Danny,
look
you
want to
go
face.
Get a cup of coffee? Or we need these two? Listen. Have
at
it for a minute? Okay.
Right. You realize that Carol Baskin's my hero, right? And you know what she did.
She fed him to the tigers, John.
So first I just got to get tigers and sardine oil.
And then
sardine oil.
Listen, runner-up is just as good. But just so it's clear to everyone who voted, thank
you
for the vote.
Third time's the charm.
That's not going to happen. That does it for us for the day. A very different type of show than usual. We kind of flushed out everything and just chatted with you all day about your feelings. And I hope you were cool with it. I know some people weren't. I got your text messages as well.
Duly noted.
I appreciate that. And I understand that we're your escape. And I get it. This is my escape, too. Coming in the morning.
We really went back and forth on whether or not we were going to bring it up at all because this isn't the thing that we normally talk about.
I just couldn't see us doing this whole
how
show.
How could you? Yeah.
And just ignoring.
And ignoring it. Yeah. I didn't know how else to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why we did it. And again, we'll be back tomorrow to all the fun stuff. And we're even going to start with Can't Beat Jackson tomorrow. So plan on that.
Can't
as
do
well.
It.
So let's just go around and kind of finish off with some final thoughts. Jackson.
Why don't you check in on your friends? Check in on your family members, especially if you know someone who wasn't doing so hot before all this went down.
Yeah.
Maybe someone who is, you know, disabled and they were, you know, just sort of locked in their house to begin with. Make sure they're still doing okay. But anyone who you think might be having a hard time right now, this is hard for everybody. So just give them a call today. See how they're doing.
Yeah. Producer Danny, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important to just talk to your family and friends about this and all the issues going on and not, you know, not talk about it because I think it's really important that we are talking about it, and I'm just really proud of us.
Monroe, final thoughts.
I love you guys.
Love you.
Love you. You guys are the best.
You know, you guys mentioned talking about it. Don't forget, it's okay to have a friend who has a different opinion than you.
I know. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't...
You can still be kind and be friends. Some of my best friends, we couldn't disagree completely on the way the world should be.
I know. But you know what? If we're not able to, like, talk it out, like...
Well...
You know,
and I would encourage you to talk to someone who's different from you.
Yeah.
Like, talk, if you don't know a Black Lives Matter protester, talk to a Black Lives, or talk to a Black person if you don't have Black people, and vice versa. If you don't have a lot of conservative friends in your circle, see what their thoughts are on it. And you know, it's good. You might not change your mind, and that's cool, but it's always good to have some perspective from everywhere.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Yeah. That does it for us. Again, we'll be back to normal tomorrow. Dylan is up next. Please, whatever you do, be safe. Bye-bye.